What's the story of this year's Purdue football team? What makes David Bell so special? Why does George Karlaftis get a lot of attention when he's on the football field? We'll dive into all of that in this Preview Thursday episode as Travis Miller, the founder and site manager of HammerandRails.com, a SB Nation site, helps us learn all about the Buckeyes' next opponent right here in this episode of Locked on Buckeyes.
You are Locked on Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Buckeyes fans? Welcome back to another episode of Locked on Buckeyes for the Locked on Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. It is Thursday, November 11th in the year 2021, and this episode of Locked on Buckeyes is brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's an unofficial community center. A big thank you to our friends at McDonald's for always being there. I'm loving it. You know, it's Preview Thursday, and here on the podcast, we have another guest helping us get ready for the big game this weekend. Today, we have Travis Miller. He is the founder and site manager of HammerandRails.com, a SB Nation site. Travis, how you doing, man?
I am good, and I'm happy to announce for your listeners and everything, Rondale Moore is safely gone. And also, this game is not at Ross-Ade Stadium, so I think you guys will be okay.
Rondale Moore being gone, the game not being at Ross-Ade Stadium in West Lafayette, but Purdue still has some talent, a lot of talent on this team, pulled off two big upsets and looking to pull off number three. Travis, in your own words, what is the story of this year's Purdue Boilermakers football team?
Honestly, six wins for the first time before the bucket game since, I believe, 2007. And a couple of big upsets, two top five wins. Wow. I thought we could be 7-5. That was my original prediction before the end of the year. But after that Minnesota game, that was one I felt we'd let get away. And, you know, now that you look at it, you get that game, you're in full control in the Big Ten West, possibly. I know we have the Wisconsin loss, but 6-3 headed to Columbus, man. I think every Purdue fan would take it at this point. And even the three losses were not, you know, terrible. They were all competitive games in the fourth quarter. And you have David Bell's just playing out of his mind. Aiden O'Connell, he's had some rough moments, but these last two games, you couldn't ask for much better from him. And it's just, they're fun to watch. And, you know, I know this weekend is a monumental challenge. I would be shocked still if we pull this off in the shoe, but 8-4, it looks like a real possibility with Northwestern and Indiana at the end. And, you know, I'll take it, man. 8-4. We have not had this great of a regular season. I think the last time we won eight games in a regular season was 2006. So, whew.
Was Joe Taylor still the coach back then?
Yes. Okay. He was still the coach then. I know it was a weird 8-6 because we had that 13th game we actually played at Hawaii in the regular season finale. So we got the extra game. We were 8-4 headed out there. We lost that one. We lost the bowl game pretty badly. But, I mean, you're looking at, you know, we haven't been playing this well in quite some time. So, you know, I'll take it, man. After the Hazel era, after the mediocre Danny Hope era, it's just nice. And we're ranked. I mean, we had not been ranked at all since 2007 when we were ranked for 1 week and you guys beat us. So.
This is the first time that Purdue has been in the CFP, the college football playoff ranking. You mentioned how your prediction for the season was a 7-5 record, potential of going 8-4 in the regular season, not including the bowl appearance. What changed for this team through the season that wasn't expected going into it?
Honestly, it was O'Connell just kind of seizing the reins in that Iowa game. I mean, they had the week off, and there was a lot of doubt around the program against Minnesota. I feel like that's a game we should have won. I think we made eight trips into Minnesota territory, and we walked away with 13 points, which is not good. But, I mean, he came on against Iowa. He took advantage of it. Wisconsin was a bit of a step back. He had a rough game in that one, but it was still – I think it was still a one-possession game with about 13 minutes left. and then going out to Nebraska, just not making any mistakes and also taking advantage of other teams' mistakes. And one of the things that I've really loved about this team is the defense has been good, but in the last three wins, it has done a fantastic job of just closing it out. They have been able to make other teams make mistakes. I think they have like 8-9 interceptions in the fourth quarter of these last couple of games. And the offense is, we don't have much of a running game, but the offense has been great at bleeding the clock, playing possession football, and that short passing game has done it well. So, I mean, I like this team. If we got the lead in the fourth quarter, that they can close it out. That's been a long time since we could say that.
I bet it has been. I went to the game, Purdue's first game of the year against Oregon State, and Jack Plummer was the starting quarterback. What did Aiden O'Connell do to take over the reins as the signal caller for the Boilermakers?
He's just better, I think, at pushing the ball downfield. I mean, Plummer has been, he has really good numbers still if he has to be in there. He has not thrown an interception, which is pretty impressive for a guy with 100-plus attempts on the season. He is actually got a 68% completion percentage, and he's like the second most accurate passer all time at Purdue because he's got plenty of experience. O'Connell's just been better. They put him in to kind of get the offense moving against Notre Dame. He threw a couple picks. He had the game-winning drive against Illinois in a game that both quarterbacks struggled, and he was able to kind of fix things. But once he got the starting nod against Iowa, I mean, things just really took off. Or no, he got the first starting nod against Minnesota, but against Iowa, things just took off, and he's kind of seized the job. And it's been fun to see. He's been accurate. He's completing more than 70% of his passes. He's really cut down on the interceptions, that except for that Wisconsin game. And just the offense seems to move the ball a lot better with him right now. So, I mean, Plummer's good. He's a solid backup. He's got plenty of starting experience, but O'Connell's been better. So,
this episode of Locked On Buckeyes is brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's a place where friends and family can come to reconnect, a place where classmates can meet up for a study group knowing they'll have dependable Wi-Fi and endless supplies of French fries and McFlurries. Win or lose, it's a place where teammates, competitors, the home team, or the away team can come to recharge. It's the place you always look forward to stopping at on a long road trip to rest your legs and refuel. So head to your local McDonald's to refuel and reconnect. Did somebody say Locked On Buckeyes watch party? Ba-da-ba-ba-da. I'm loving it. O'Connell in this game, he's going to be asked to do a lot. I know Ohio State's defense at times has changed things up for different quarterbacks. He has a weapon in David Bell, which is a weapon that I believe every team in the country, including Ohio State, would love to have at their disposal. What makes David Bell so special?
He's just so smooth. He's so polished. I know I do a podcast every week with Corey Sheets, our all-time touchdowns leader, running back that played for us during the Tiller era. And we were talking about it. It's just unfortunate we did not get to really see Moore and Bell play together because of Moore's injuries and everything else. But Bell is just, while Moore is the guy that he can turn a 2-yard gain into an 80-yard gain, Bell is just so polished. He knows how to get open. He plays the ball well in the air. He can read defenses. He'll play in the slot. He'll play outside. He'll play both sides. And he's just a security blanket, really. He always seems to be there. He always makes the big catch. And, he's going to probably break the single-season rushing record, or not rushing, receiving record this year. If he chose to come back next season, he would shatter every all-time Purdue receiving record. But he's off to the NFL after this season, and he's going to make a lot of NFL teams happy because he's so polished. He makes it look easy.
Well, who are some other weapons on this Purdue team that O'Connell likes to go to?
Milton Wright has come on as kind of the number two receiver. He had some drops early in the season, but he's got 36 catches for 368 yards and 3 touchdowns. Payne Durham's kind of been hobbled with a few injuries, but he'll probably play a little bit more this week. He's a real valuable tight end. 36 catches, 356, and 4 scores. I think he had 3 of those scores in the first 2 games of the season. And then... You got your typical Purdue guy, Jackson Anthrop. And I love the Anthrop family, because next year when Jackson's gone, I think it'll be the first year in 12 or 13 years we have not had an Anthrop somewhere in the athletic department. He had an older brother that played on the basketball team for 4 years. He had another brother that was a receiver before him. He is actually one of the few guys that came back for his sixth year due to COVID. Last year was supposed to be his last year. And he does all those little things. He's not got breakaway speed. He's not going to wow you. He's probably not going to get much of a look for the NFL, but you get the maximum from him every game. And he's, you know, just one of those versatile guys. He's lined up in the backfield, and that's been a game changer of late to kind of get things in the offense going, since we have very little running game. And, you know, just, he's your stereotypical college player.
You mentioned not having very much of a running game. I know Xander Horvath went out earlier in the year. He is now back, but the running game is not what I thought it could have been, even somewhat, not say it would have been amazing, but maybe my expectations were too high for Purdue's running game. There's holes there. There are issues there. And somehow Purdue has found a way to score points and win big games despite the lack of a running game. What's wrong with it?
I think at first it was the offensive line. They were having some trouble opening holes. They've gotten better, and I think that we've seen it get better, and getting Horvath back will help a lot as he kind of gets more and more involved in the offense. But, I mean, it is what it is at this point, man. I think we're way, way, way in the back of the Big Ten. We're getting like 60, 70 yards a game. We were in the negative against Wisconsin. But they got something going against Iowa. They got something going against Nebraska. They got a little bit going last week. And I think we just need enough to get some balance and keep teams honest, where we can open that play action and everything. Horvath has shown he can do it in the past. He's had, you know, he had some really good runs last year. I think he was over 100 yards in three of the six games. He had a great season finale in 2019 against Indiana. If you can get him going, he can do a lot. He's a big guy to bring down. And then King Doru, I think he's more like your third down back, but he can get you some tough yards if needed. And he had a big screen pass last week he took for 46 yards that helped set up the clinching field goal. So, you know, we're doing what we can. We make that short passing game work. That's what Doru does. That's what Anthrop does. And, you know, if we can get 60, 70 yards, that's just enough. You get over 100, you're like, good. That's almost the magic number for Purdue to win, is if they get over 100 on the ground.
Baby Mike Allstott. Every time I look at Horvath, I think that's what I think of. Baby Mike Allstott.
Yes. Yes. I see that 40 in the backfield, and he's a big dude. I remember Allstott, man. He was a load to bring down. I was in the eighth grade his senior year. And after a game, I was out, you know, as the team's walking off out of the stadium, and he walked past me, and I swear to God, one of his calves was the size of my waist.
Oh my goodness.
I was a tiny eighth grader at the time, man. I was like, you know, maybe 110 pounds soaking wet, but I mean, just his calves, man, were just gigantic.
Just like David Bell, the offense has a guy in David Bell who is a potential future first round draft pick. The defense has a future first-round NFL draft pick as well. It's weird to say Purdue has two guys that are potential first-round draft picks in the NFL, but they got Bell on offense. He gets all the attention. George Karlaftis, who might get drafted earlier than Bell, is not getting all the attention that Bell is getting. Offense, defense, defensive end versus wide receiver. I get it. But Karlaftis, that man is a game changer. And Ohio State's not ready, Travis. Karlaftis can make huge plays all game long.
And his stats, if you look at him, are not like world bending. I mean, he's got 25 tackles. He only has 2.5 sacks. He does seem to make at least one play per game where he reads a run and gets a guy for like a 4-yard loss. It's the attention that he gets by offensive lines. I mean, he's almost always facing a double team. Early in the season, teams were just holding the crap out of him. And, you know, he always seems to be there and cause problems. And, you don't get a sack, you don't get a tackle, but if he's there pressuring the quarterback into an interception or an incompletion, that's just as good, honestly. And that's what he does. I mean, if he's taking a double or even a triple team, suddenly Purdue's playing 10 on 8 defensively, and that makes things a lot better. So you have a guy that can do that. He's really the linchpin for a defense that has been just shown tremendous strides this year. It is significantly better than the last two seasons.
In what ways have they made those strides over the past two seasons, and we're seeing the result of those strides this year?
I mean, the biggest thing is Kerloftis. He does so much disruption. He opens things up for the other guys. And then I think the secondary has played extremely well. You've got Cam Allen. He's got 4 picks on the season. And at safety with him and Marvin Grant, they have patrolled the middle really, really well. I've been very pleased on the outside with Jalen Graham. Mm-hmm. He plays linebacker. He's kind of a hybrid linebacker, defensive back. But he had a huge pick six against Nebraska that kind of turned that game around after we were struggling a little bit early. And he's just done a lot out there. So those three guys in the secondary, I think, have made a big, big difference in the passing game. They're able to get those third and long stops that seem to elude us for years and years and years. And then the run defense has been significantly better. I know we gave up 130 yards to Walker last week, but everybody gives up 130 yards to that guy.
How do you think that the defense will do against an offense like Ohio State that can kill you in so many ways?
Oh, it's going to be a tremendous challenge. My opinion is the best chance we have is to do what we did to Iowa and do what we did to Nebraska and do what we did to Michigan State. And that is have long drives and keep the Ohio State offense safely off the field. They can't hurt us over there if the offense is keeping the ball. I know against Michigan State, we were up 10 late in the third quarter, and the offense went on like a 7.5-minute drive. They only got a field goal off of it, but they took 7.5 minutes away from Michigan State's offense being on the field. That's 7.5 minutes Kenneth Walker's not scoring on you. He's not doing anything. And, you know, they kind of did that against Nebraska. They really did it against Iowa. So, I mean, that's the best, really, is just slow them down and keep them off the field because then you're going to have to make big plays. You know, once we had the lead late against all three of those teams, they were able to take advantage of a quarterback pressing and get some big interceptions. And, you know, last week you had Dedrick Mackey, fourth down play, I think it was still like a 13-point game, fourth down play near the goal line. He breaks on the ball and gets a gigantic interception right there and just got to make plays like that. And it's going to be real difficult because you guys are so damn good.
We're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, and it's all one word to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. You said it, not me. I could have gloated and talked about the Ohio State offense, but I think it's kind of self-explanatory. The offense is really good. I do think Purdue with Kerloftis, I wonder how much attention Ohio State gives him. Will they go 2 tight end sets, or will they go 2 tight ends with the fullback at times in short yardage plays? Will they just be 3 wides, split out Jeremy Rucker, the tight end, and allow the offensive line to kind of go mano a mano? I don't think it's wise to do at all, but I do know they got to figure out some way and change things up at Kerloftis, because as he goes, the defense goes, and if he has success, the defense may have success, and the Ohio State offense might not be scoring as much, Travis, as people think they should.
And it seemed like Nebraska had a bit of a key last week. They held you guys to field goals. That's what we've got to do. We can't give up big plays, and we got to hold you guys to field goals. I know that the Minnesota game, I keep going back to that one, they scored three touchdowns. No, they scored like 17 other points because they hit on three big pass plays downfield. And they were all – the rest of the game, we mostly held them in check. You know, Nebraska had a couple of big plays in their own, and but being able to stop those big plays and, you know, make you guys work down the field, that'll help. But, I think the biggest key is the offense has to keep the ball. You know, win that time of possession, and then you got a chance. And so far, Purdue has been competitive in every game, but I kind of see this as one that we could score 30, 35 points, and it's not enough because you guys are scoring 40 or 50. I mean, you guys are just that good.
Who are some other names on the defensive side for Purdue that we should know about?
Like I said, Jalen Graham, Cam Allen, Marvin Grant, they've been really good. Jalen Alexander has been very, very solid at linebacker. One of the guys I've really liked is Jamari Brown. He's taken the second corner spot, and he's really run with it, especially since we lost probably our top corner in Corey Trice to an ankle injury for the year. And he had a really, really big play against Wisconsin. He came off the edge, and he got a huge sack that Karloftis picked up and took for 50-plus yards for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And again, that's another example of what Karloftis could do. He didn't make the sack, but he's standing right there. The ball comes at his feet, and he's like, all right, I'll take that, and just takes off for the touchdown. So, you know, that secondary has done extremely well. And then a couple of other guys, I really want to see DeMarcus Mitchell kind of take off. He's been limited a little bit, but he's the guy on the other end that is going to have that one-on-one matchup because Karloftis is getting so much attention. So it's like, okay, Mitchell, you have to take advantage of that right now. And he did that extremely well. He was probably our best defender last season. I don't think he's been totally healthy this year, but he can still make a big difference. I think he had a sack last week too, near the end of the game.
What are your final thoughts for this weekend's game prediction, and how do you think the game will go?
I mean, it's house's money at this point. I don't expect to win. I would love to keep it close, you know, let it be competitive into the third or fourth quarter, and I'll be happy there. If we were to pull it out, we haven't won in the shoe since 1988. So that's our long – we've had some close calls. The name Kenny Guyton will probably be loved by you guys. That drive he had, and what a lot of people forget about that game is that was your stereotypical missed extra points haunt. You blocked an extra point in the first quarter. You don't block that. We have a 9-point lead with a minute 30 to go, and it's like, all right, score twice. Find a way to do it. But, yeah, he made that drive. I was there in 2003 when you guys won in overtime. I think we were close in 99. But, I mean, it's always real hard for anybody to win there, and I think we're going to have to play a near-perfect game. We're going to have to take advantage of some mistakes that you guys haven't made. I really like the game plan that Nebraska had, and that's probably our best shot, is hold you to field goals, don't give up those big plays, keep it close. If we've got the lead in the fourth quarter, you know, you guys have gotten a lot better than that Oregon game, but I know that was one where you guys had to press a little bit late. You get that lead in the fourth quarter, things get tight, who knows? And I've liked what this team has shown there. But at this point, if we somehow pull this off, I mean, you're looking at a potential rematch in Indy. And I mean, I think Purdue fans are elated right now with where we are. But if we pull this one off, suddenly the sky's the limit, man. We just need a little bit of help with Wisconsin and Minnesota losing at that point to make it to Indy.
Right now, with those other two teams, Wisconsin and Minnesota, anything is possible. Purdue could be in Indianapolis. Didn't expect to say that at the beginning of the season. No. I didn't say that at all. My prediction was Iowa. We've seen how that goes. Purdue in Indianapolis playing the Big Ten championship in the state of where their team plays, that would be amazing.
Oh yes. And I think it's a lot of fun because a lot of fans were looking towards our basketball season this year, you know, so highly rated, everybody coming back. We started last night with a 29-point win, but having what we've done in football is like, oh, this nice little pleasant surprise that's there. And it's like, oh, we can kind of ignore these bye games a little bit, and we can enjoy football for a few weeks. I know we got a big day coming up next Saturday, and a lot of Purdue fans were happy when the Big Ten announced their kickoff times. We get to play Northwestern at Wrigley Field at noon, and then later that day, the basketball team has their first real test of the season against North Carolina out in Connecticut. So that's going to be a fun day, I think.
I think so. I think so. Travis, this has been fun. If you could, let everyone know where they can follow you on Twitter, then where they can read some of the things you guys have coming up for this weekend's game.
Sure. My Twitter handle is just TMill, and then our site Twitter handle is at Hammer and Rails. We're hammerandrails.com. We have lots of stuff all week. A lot of football. If you want to take a quick peek at basketball for us, we've got that going as well. And then I do a twice weekly podcast called Behind the Rails with Corey Sheets. He's our former Purdue running back. He is our all-time touchdowns leader, Grey Cup MVP. He went up to Canada and won the Grey Cup there with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. And that's a lot of fun. We had a great one that went live yesterday, wrapping up the Michigan State game. We'll be recording later tonight and get it out sometime Thursday afternoon. Our preview on Ohio State, see what he has to talk about. And it's just great to hear what he has as a former player, really. He's got a lot more insight than I do. I've never played a down of organized football in my life. So it's great to see how he can be like, oh, yeah, you need to do this, you need to do that, and here's what we think and everything else. So
I love it. Guys, you can follow me on Twitter at jstevens07. We're a couple days away from the game against Purdue. I think it'll be a fun game to watch for Ohio State. Probably not as much fun for the Purdue fans. I do think Ohio State turns things around. You can follow the podcast on your favorite podcast listening app. Subscribe on YouTube. Hit the subscription button, the subscribe button, and the bell so you're notified every time a new video goes live. We're done with the show for the day, guys. Closing up shop. We'll be back tomorrow to get you ready for the big game.